Hello and welcome to the After Dinner Podcast. My name is John Keeley, and this is the podcast extension of ROI, show 559. Our noted guest for today is author Dr. Patrick Linden, who's going to talk to us about his book, The Case Against Death. The history buffs joining us are Rick Sweet and Brett Menard. And Brett, since you're the closest to death of anybody here, why don't you ask the first question?
Do you want Brett or Rick?
I can go.
So, go, Brett. Go, Brett.
You talked about, you know, some of these other solutions to the problems that death helps us with, like overpopulation and resource hoarding. What about the argument some people make that, you know, at some point I've done all the stuff that I want to do and continued existence becomes boring or mundane or something along those lines?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very, very old argument. You see in Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, for example, and you see it in Lucretius, nature says to man that, look, why do you want to continue so long? I have nothing new to show you. There's nothing new under the sun, just the same over and over again. And the Greeks talked about, of course, Sisyphus rolling the stone. He wanted to cheat death, and there he is rolling the stone up and down and so on. And so, yeah, it's a very, very old argument, but I think that it's flawed. I think that the world is completely inexhaustible in its interest to us if we open our eyes to it. I think existence itself is a complete wonder. I think there's not even something close to what I consider close to a theory of consciousness till we are consciousness, and consciousness might be our brains and the consciousness that somehow is related to the brain, identity or supervenience or maybe dualism, is perhaps one of the most amazing things in this universe. So I think it's just a misperception that the world around us is not interesting enough for us to live for, if not forever, at least for a very, very long time, for thousands of years, I can see. I mean, the longer we live, too, the more, in many ways, there is to experience culturally. I mean, it doesn't matter how much we read, there will always be more books tomorrow that we haven't read, right? So I think I think it's a personality flaw if you think life is boring. I think it's a perspective. And I also think that if we gain the capacity to live very long, we will adapt to a much longer life, and we will be able to expand our ambitions for what's possible for us to learn to achieve the relationships we can have and so on. We've done a good job, I mean, fairly good job adapting to this ridiculously short life we have, so I think it might be adapt to a much longer life. So those are some of my answers here.
Okay. Youthful Rick, do you have a question?
Yes, I do feel so young. Patrick, I asked you in the broadcast portion, what is the perfect death? And you said there is no such thing. So I'll ask you, and I'm assuming that part of the perfect life is as technology, particularly through medicine, can sustain life longer. What is your definition of the perfect life?
Definition of the perfect life. Well, I mean, that's a big question. So one thing is that you have, of course, all the basics that you need as a human animal covered, and then you want, of course, freedom. You want to be part of something. You want love, and you want self-realization. I mean, I'm taking us through the pyramid here of motivation.
No, it's perfect. Perfect.
And,
yeah.
And I think that aging and death are kind of a threat to our self-determination. I mean, I have projects that I know are going to take longer than I have, and that's unfreedom. I think death and aging conspires against some of the perfection of my life.
Okay. Brett.
So one of the other common critiques about extending life greatly is that at some point you stop having new ideas and new experiences, and you have a less creative and a less vibrant culture because people do get set in their ways. So what's the remedy for that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think one remedy is that we keep ourselves youthful longer. So one remedy is in the science, so to speak, that if we can also keep our brains young, so to speak, then it will help. I also think that one shouldn't kind of overestimate the problem with this, because it's of course two ways of being stuck. You can be stuck in a way that you're just irrationally conservative, or you can be stuck in a way that you found out some good things and then you uphold those. That is, you have a firm identity, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. I think that if this becomes a problem, then things we can do in society to not only stimulate older people and try to have them mix more with younger people. I can see, for example, that there's a diversity is very popular in all kinds of organizations, and I think that diversity could include age diversity, so that if you think diversity is the good thing, then adding age diversity can be a good thing, and then old people and young people could learn from each other. Overall, and finally, I don't think that old people dying should be our first solution. If we could live longer in health, I would actually, even if that would slow down development of society, I think it might be all in all a good thing. Because what is the progress we want in society? Well, for me, living and having my parents live longer in good health, and my children and everyone I love around me to live longer in good health, for me, that's progress, or that's a very big part of progress. So even if we don't upgrade everything else as quickly as we would if, according to the hypothesis, we died earlier, old people died earlier, it might be worth it. If I could pick between a society where I was guaranteed to live in good health, where everyone was guaranteed to live in good health to 120, but would have a technological state of, say, 1972, I might think that would be, I would pick it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we would like to thank our noted guest for the 559 show, Dr. Patrick Linden, author of the book, A Case Against Death. The history buffs for today's show were Rick Sweet and Brett Menard. ROI can be found at 9:30 p.m. Friday nights on KAL Radio or on the web at tunein.com. If you're looking for older programs, you'll find them at soundcloud.com. Just put KALA Radio in the search. Click on the first icon and scroll down for nearly a decade of ROI shows. You can also find ROI on all your favorite streaming platforms. ROI is recorded at Station KALA, St. Ambrose University.